The reading of God's Word from the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 31st verse. Jesus told them yet another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field, and though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." Jesus told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. As Americans, there are so many values that we embrace, values that drive our thinking, our acting, the ways in which we relate to one another. And of all the values that drive us in our everyday activities, I don't know of another value that is more important to us as Americans than the value that is expressed in the old proverb, "Bigger is better." Bigger is better. You think about how much that philosophy bears upon your everyday experience. If you have a nice house, that's well and good, but wouldn't a bigger one be nicer? If you have a serviceable TV, when TVs go on sale, doesn't the thought cross your mind, you know, this might be a good time, football season approaching, to get a bigger TV? You look at your bank account and you say, well, I'm a blessed person, but would you quibble if your bank account might grow bigger in the coming days? I mean, you see how this philosophy, this value of bigger is better, it just has a way of infiltrating every single aspect of our lives, even church life. I mean, if you have a good-sized church, that's a wonderful thing, but wouldn't a bigger church be a better church? Now, I have to confess that, you know, I'm driven by this philosophy just as much as the next person. You know, I like to go to restaurants. I look at the parking lot, and I see lots of cars in the parking lot, and I say to myself, well, there are a lot of people at that particular restaurant, far more at that restaurant than some of these other restaurants, so I think I'll stop there. I go to a store, and I look at all the people that are shopping at the store, and I think to myself, well, they must have good deals at that store. They're doing a good job of conducting their business. I think I might be led to give them some of my business. You know, you've heard me now for 5.5 years. My heart's desire is to see Mountain Brook Baptist Church reach as many people as we can with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so there is certainly a part of me that says, well, a bigger Mountain Brook Baptist Church wouldn't be a bad thing. But when we analyze that philosophy on its merits, is it always the case that bigger is better? No, it isn't. Sometimes from the littlest of things, sometimes from little things can come an awful lot. Now, that's what Jesus is impressing upon his disciples as he shares with them these two parables that are before us this morning. Parables that Matthew tells us give us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. The Gospels tell us that Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven, which refers to the inevitability of God's rule and God's reign coming down to bear upon this world as it always bears upon heaven. We pray that every Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus is teaching about in these parables. The first parable actually is a very familiar one to us, as Sharon was sharing with the children the parable of the mustard seed. I'm sure that in your mind, as I was thinking in my mind, I can remember all of those Sunday school lessons about the significance of the tiny mustard seed. I remember getting those little packets with seeds in them. Oh, they're such tiny seeds. And as Jesus told his disciples, this mustard seed is the tiniest of all of your seeds, and yet something miraculous comes from it. There is this gigantic tree that grows that serves as a place for all the birds of the air to perch. It's a wondrous thing, pretty impressive stuff. Jesus loved the mustard seed. Later in Matthew's gospel, he will say to his disciples, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, just that much faith, you would say to this mountain, go, move over there, and it would do it. If you had faith as tiny as a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible for you. That parable we know. The second parable, the parable of the leaven, not as familiar. The mustard seed parable tends to dominate our attention. But if you've ever gotten one of those starter things, I can remember years ago, it was very popular. Everybody was making their own bread, and someone would give you a, you know, they called it a starter, and you had to feed it every day. Some of you remember this. You had to feed it every day, and as you fed it every day, it grew in its ability to be able to be used to bake delicious bread. Jesus says, like a woman that does that, she just takes a little leaven, and she mixes it into a massive amount of dough. Some of your translations actually calculate the amount of dough that is infiltrated by this little lump of leaven. 60 pounds. I mean, that's a lot. And yet just a little leaven at work in that massive amount of dough, it does what leaven is supposed to do. It causes the dough to rise. So we've all heard lessons and sermons on these parables, how God can take the smallest measure of faith. You know, God works in small things in impressive ways. How we should not discount the manner in which God is able to take us where we are, regardless of the level of faith we have. If we just have a little bit of faith, God is able to work in us in ways that bring about these impressive results. And all of those sermons that I have preached, and all of those Sunday school lessons that you have taught, all of those Bible studies that I have done, that has called our attention to the way that God can just respond to the smallest measure of faith. They're all true. But might there be something more to this parable? For those of you who have been here the last couple of weeks, when I've been working my way through some of these parables in Matthew's gospel, I have told you that these parables that Jesus told were designed to challenge us and to push us and to cause us to think more deeply about what it means to be citizens of the kingdom. These parables challenge us to change our ways of thinking and to move beyond conventional thought patterns so that we open our hearts to realities that only God can do. You know, if you read a parable, here's the bottom line. If you read a parable and it doesn't challenge you in some way to the core of your being, chances are you haven't yet heard the message. You need to read it again and again and again and again until suddenly your eyes are opened and your heart is open. And God is ready to do through you in your situation something that God has never been able to do before simply because you have not allowed God to work as God desires. So, what is there in this parable that we may be missing? Well, let's begin with the mustard seed. It says, this tiny seed grows into a tree, but we skip the part that says that it actually grows into this great big garden shrub. A mustard seed in the first century world was actually technically a weed. A weed. So, what could Jesus be getting at when he says the kingdom of heaven is like a seed that gives rise to a weed that grows up to be this giant shrub, not really a tree? If Jesus had wanted to emphasize some noble tree, he would have gone back to the Old Testament. He would have drawn from the prophet Ezekiel, the noble cedar tree in which all of the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. It would have been the perfect analogy, but Jesus didn't choose it. He chose the seed that grows into a weed. And if it can be compared to a tree, that's sort of a scandalous thing. Is there another tree in the gospel that in scandalous fashion serves the redemptive purposes of God? Oh, yes, the cross. Who would have thought that the cross would have been the place where God's love would have been revealed for all who could see it? That God would have used what others would have thought an instrument of evil to be the means through which God's redemption might be poured out to the whole world. That's how God works. That's what it means when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed that grows into a great shrub, that the birds of the air perch to it, the last place you would expect them to go. Don't miss what God is doing in Jesus. So many people do. And the leaven. Well, today you go to your favorite grocery store, and if you look for yeast, you find it in these nice little packets. But the truth of the matter is, again, in the first century world, the leaven about which Jesus is speaking is a moldy lump of bread. And everywhere else in the New Testament, this used to bother me. Because even as a boy, I could remember thinking, wait a minute, this is not adding up. Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven like leaven, and everywhere else I look in the New Testament, leaven's not a good thing. What does Jesus tell his disciples? You need to beware the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's not a good thing. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church and he invites them. He admonishes them, actually. He says to them, you need to be done with the old leaven. By which he means salvation by works. Let's see what we can do to justify ourselves before God. You be done with that, Paul says to the church at Corinth. That's old leaven, so that God might work in you an unleavened batch of sincerity and truth. And furthermore, the manner in which this woman works this lump of moldy bread into this otherwise good dough, the image is that she's doing something almost sinister. She hides the leaven in the dough. What is Jesus saying? The powers and the principalities that think they hold sway. Not for a moment. Not for long. Certainly not forever. Because hidden within the systems and the structures of this world is another kingdom. A kingdom that is ruled by love and mercy and justice. It's a kingdom that's ruled by selflessness and sacrifice. And if you really want to be a part of what God is doing in this world, then you have to come to a place in your faith journey where you're willing to allow God to hide something in your life that enables you to express yourself in those ways. What Jesus is telling us. We live at a time when there are moments when we wonder, God, is anybody in charge? We see what's happening around us, and there's all this evil and selfishness and injustice. Times when we look around and we ask ourselves the question, is there really anything to this kingdom of God business? I mean, we're not sure because it doesn't seem to be taking root in this world in which we live. There doesn't seem to be many lives that are being changed by the good news that Jesus came to bring. But what these parables invite us to do is to open our eyes and our hearts to what too many people are missing. They're small glimpses of how, yes, God is at work in this world. And he is bringing his purposes to pass. And in Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection, God has already defeated the powers and the principalities. He's dealt evil and Satan a mortal blow. And one day his kingdom will come and his will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. The question that Jesus is posing to us is, in spite of everything happening around you, will you dare to believe that God's rule and his reign is taking root in your life? So sometimes you don't feel so important. Sometimes you think you don't have much to offer. Sometimes your life is like a weed and nothing's going to come from it. Sometimes it seems as if you're just moldy and your best years have passed you by. But might God hide something in your heart just as he's doing in other lives, so that when you see small glimpses of the kingdom, somebody whose yes is a yes and whose no is a no, you see somebody living like that and you say, oh my soul, the kingdom of heaven. You see someone actually forgiving the trespasses that others have committed against them, instead of striking back and retaliating and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, because that's how our world tells us we're supposed to relate to one another. When someone hits you, hit them back harder. And yet you see someone who doesn't do that. And you say to yourself, oh my soul, it's the kingdom of heaven. When you see someone who refuses to judge others, because Jesus said, this is how it works in the kingdom, judge not lest ye be judged. That same measure that you use to judge others, it will be used against you. When you see someone who says, I'm not going to live like that, say to yourself, oh my soul, praise the Lord, it's the kingdom of heaven. It may be something very small and seemingly insignificant. But if it's of God, it's going to grow. And if it's of God, it's going to take over. So why not let it take over in your life? In a drop of water, there is a city with tides of traffic flowing through it. Never underestimate the significance of a little thing. In a drop of blood, all of the physicians here will tell you, in a drop of blood, there's a battleground with marshaled hosts of red and white blood cells. Never underestimate the significance of a little thing. In a lump of moldy leaven is a divine power that is able to lift limp things to life. In a seed, there is a mustard tree in which the birds of the air and the hearts of restless souls, in the power of God, come to find their rest. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus says, for the life of you, don't you dare miss it. Don't you dare miss it.